Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Welcome back into the show on 96.5 The Fan. Let's head out to Kauffman Stadium right now and be joined by the Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Vern, it has been a long time since you have come on the show in September.
Yeah, without a question. It's nice to be here, nice to talk about a team that is still in position for the postseason. CDOT, who would you most prefer to be a fan of, the Detroit Tigers, the Minnesota Twins, or the Kansas City Royals as we sit here with 9 games to play?
I mean, I think you would have to pick the Royals. You know, we love a basketball analogy on this show. It feels like in a basketball game, the Royals were up 12, but now they're up 4, and now fans are acting like they're down. You're like, wait, hold on. They're still winning the game. If the game ended right now, Rob and I were having this conversation. This is the difference between what the math is telling you, that the math still tells you the Royals are overwhelmingly going to make the postseason, as opposed to how you feel and how they are playing. I mean, they've lost 15 of the last 22 games. They haven't given you a whole lot of reasons to feel very hopeful and optimistic the last 3 weeks.
No question, especially offensively, struggling with runners in scoring positions. Since Vinny Pasquantino went down, they're averaging a run and a half fewer per game. But when you look at those teams that you're competing with right now, Detroit, to that performance we saw, that 3-game stretch was as impressive a performance that an opposing team has had at Kauffman Stadium. That's what Boston did here. Yeah, you can make a case, maybe the Yankees, but wow, did Detroit look good. But 9 games to play. Tarek Skubal's a stud, but they're piecemealing together that rotation. They're piecemealing together those 9 innings. You have, as Royals fans, you have Lugo, Reagans, and tonight Michael Wacha. Minnesota sure has Bailey Ober and Pablo Lopez, and that's why I think the two teams that own the tiebreakers and the Royals and Twins are still in the best position as we head down the stretch.
I mean, I would say the biggest reason why I feel good, let's stop worrying about the math and just looking at the standings. I would feel very different if they didn't have the 3rd wild card spot for it to be a soft landing spot for the Royals. If this was the old rules, I think you'd be really nervous about where the Royals are. But in this, you don't have to be better than the Twins and the Tigers. You have to be better than the Twins or the Tigers. And I think the math, again, is then firmly in your favor that you're going to have a better record than one of those two teams. Maybe not both of those two teams with the way the Tigers are playing. But because you have that extra wild card spot, and now it's 3 teams fighting for 2 spots, you got to feel good with 9 games to go that you have the advantage, especially because the Twins, they have not been playing well the last 10 days.
Yeah, and I think that's there's a lot of different ways to take that. That to me is one of the reasons why you don't see a 100-win team, why you're not likely going to see teams try and build superpowers anymore, because man, you look in both leagues, for as exciting as the 3rd wild card race may be, how much better would it be if you had the old ways where you're playing a 1-game win or go home wild card game like we saw back in the day? No, having that cushion, as you called it, yeah, that's obviously beneficial in having the season series already in your back pocket with Detroit, even prior to that, going into that series that just concluded, knowing that no matter what happens, if you both end with 89 wins, the Royals are going to get the edge. The Royals are going to find themselves in the postseason. And then you throw into the, what's happening to Baltimore right now is they refuse to pull away with that top wild card spot. Baltimore and Detroit about to go at it tonight. Baltimore still has the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. So, yeah, obviously I'm fixated on the Twins, the Tigers, and the race in the division. But who knows with this Orioles team? They have Corbin Burnes going tonight. But other than him, You wonder if they'll end up finding their way back into the pack as well.
I know there's no way to get the definitive answer to this, but would this losing streak, would this skid be happening if the Vinny Pasquantino injury didn't occur?
I would have to say no, because what ails this team right now is what Vinny excels at, and that's hitting good pitching. I say that like it's easy to do. I mean, there's a reason why Vinny was one of the 10 best hitters in baseball when it comes to clutch situations, two outs and a man in scoring position. He was, the only players, and I've mentioned this to you before, the only players in baseball that had better numbers in big spots than Vinny are all former MVPs or future Hall of Famers. The Royals, since losing Vinny Pasquantino, are barely hitting above the Mendoza line with runners in scoring position. With Vinny Pasquantino, they led baseball in batting average with runners in scoring position. They're missing that lefty bat right now, because if you stack up the best plate appearances on this team right now, it goes Bobby, Salvi, and then probably Yuli Gurriel or Tommy Pham and Hunter Renfro, hopefully starting to turn it around. That's a lot of veteran right-handed bats. You're looking at Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, MJ Melendez. You want one of those young Royals that are in their first postseason race. You need them to step up. If not now, certainly come October.
Can I read to you a couple of texts from earlier on the show? So the Royals are going up against Mason Black. You're obviously aware that Mason Black has not had a great start to his season. He is 0-4. He has an over 7 ERA. This is what the text line said. CDOT, the Royals are going to get no hit through 8. Oh boy, a no-hitter from San Francisco. This sounds like the perfect guy to throw 7 scoreless and strike out 9. Carrington, how could you say this? You've now jinxed the Royals. Vern, we can't even be hopeful that the baseball gods have given them. He is probably one of the three worst starting pitchers going on the bump today for any team in Major League Baseball. If you can't get going against this guy today, what are we doing here?
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Listen. There's no excuse to lose this game or lose this series. Not because the walls are closing in on you, but because you're the better team and the playoffs start soon. Pick it up. Both players, coaches, the fans, these final three games, everybody needs to pick it up a little bit.
Right now, we're joined by our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Who are you more worried about? Is it the Tigers or the Twins?
I don't know if I would say I'm – you're talking about both of them passing the Royals and knocking them out of the postseason. I don't see that happening. Could one? Sure, yeah. But like you mentioned, having that third wild card spot is just such a cushion. Having the season series advantage over Detroit is such a cushion. Come October – Tarek Skubal and a nasty bullpen are certainly formidable. Pablo Lopez, Bailey Ober are a tough one too. But man, come October, it's just such a different game. It becomes tournament baseball more so than normal regular season day in, day out baseball. Come the ALDS and the ALCS, you have days off after game one, game three. So you can throw your big dogs out of the bullpen, right? Herrera, Davis, and Holland can each pitch 2 innings of every single game, so you're not asking much from your rotation. So I think that's an advantage for Houston, as they're going to have not only big dogs in their rotation, but big dogs in their bullpen. It's an advantage for the Padres, the Dodgers, the Guardians. But Kansas City, come tournament baseball, I don't think it bodes well for them unless an Alec Marsh, Chris Bubich, Brady Singer, someone like that just thrives in a new role come October. But, starting pitching is obviously gotten this team this far. I think starting pitching can be the reason why you win the wild card series. But starting pitching alone, I don't believe will be enough to get this team past the DS, past the CS. So as far as who would I fear most come October, I'll lean Minnesota just because of the veteran presence in their lineup. Yeah, with Correa, with Buxton, with guys that have at least been to October before to go along with those top two in the rotation, I'll still lean Minnesota, even though, that fan base and that bullpen right now are in the same sort of free fall that Royals fans can easily find themselves in with their bullpen.
Last thing here, Vern, and I think this is the kind of disappointing part of all of this, that I'm with you. I think the Royals are going to make the postseason. I don't care where those games are. I don't care if they're in Baltimore. I don't care if they're in New York. You made the postseason. That is a tremendous accomplishment from where they were last season. Part of me does think, man, they left the door wide open. Like, the Orioles have not played well in the second half of the season, that whatever postseason games that they have, those games should be in Kansas City.
Yeah, but, I mean, look up and down. Again, this is, to me, the a reason why I don't need 12 teams to make the playoffs. We're playing 162 freaking games. I have an idea of who the 5 best or the 10 best in baseball are. I don't need to add an additional 2 because, as we're seeing, it's, you know, every man for themselves. It's a free fall from Baltimore. The Royals have dropped 7 of the last 19. The Twins can't get out of their own ways. You're seeing the same thing happen over in the National League. Not too many teams as of now, again, things can change quickly, but not too many teams, especially in the American League, are finishing with a flourish. Again, to me, I'm just hearing a lot of reflections as to why expanding the postseason without cutting down the regular season, to me, it just makes no sense.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. He is our Royals insider. He is live at Kauffman Stadium. This question is more for me than anything. You know, I said that we're not talking about attendance anymore on the show, but I am curious how many people are going to be out there, because I am going to the game today, and I'm hopeful that it's a great environment at the K tonight.
Yeah, I'm hopeful as well. Fireworks normally turn the people out, although the Friday, the most recent Friday game in September, was the lowest attended Friday night game since April. I have no idea what to expect. I'm hoping for 25, but I don't know. I haven't asked yet, so I don't have the number. But, man, I would like to think it would be north of 30, but I just have no reason to believe that, so I'm hoping for 25.
You know what, Ken? When you find out, just text me, because I actually do want to know. I'm excited to go to the game today. I mean, they haven't had a Friday night game with this level of importance in a long time. This is the game that I want to be at. That's our guy, Vern, joining us. Vern, we appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
I told you guys earlier that I was going to give you 2 chances to win a pizza. This is that second chance. 913-586-7965. You have to answer 1 question correctly. If you answer it correctly, I'll give you a pizza. If not, we'll hang up on you and give it to somebody else. Call right now. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, he's feeling it.
I am champion dot.
You never know when it's going to happen, but it's always your chance to win. Here's another edition of C-Dot's Trivia Minigame on The Drive.
All right. We have one question to ask one person. There are five answers. Rob and I have set the over-under at 3.5. We have John on hold. I will ask John. John hung up. John figured out the rules to this thing and wanted nothing to do with it. We will give one more person a chance to play. 913-586-7965. John was on hold the entire commercial break. I started telling John the rules to this thing. John said, nah, boy, you ain't about to embarrass me on this show. If you want to play, it is one NFL question. It's that simple. You get it, we will give you a pizza. If you miss it, we will give the pizza to the text line, and then we will move on and talk about the Chiefs. It is really that simple. Rob, if you could turn the music down just a little bit to give yourself a little bit of time, I want to play this audio for you guys, and then I promise you we'll get back to what we were about to do here coming up in a bit. Let's talk a little bit of college football here to give yourself a little bit of time. Your Kansas Jayhawks have a very important game this weekend on the road against West Virginia. If Jalen Daniels plays poorly, I think there's a chance that they make a quarterback change. We had Michael Swain on the show a couple of days ago, and I asked him, does he think the issues with Jalen Daniels are more physical than mental? Here's what he said.
Mental, because you can still see throughout the times of games that he still has the talent, right? You see the mobility, right? The two runs he had against UNLV last week, right? Showcase, he's still got that speed and mobility. What I think made Jalen so great during 2022 and 23 was his ability to read defenses, make the right throws, and put the throws in an accurate position. What I see right now is a quarterback that's a second late right now on it. And if you look at his interceptions, two of them against Illinois and then, honestly, two of them against UNLV. It's a quarterback that's not seeing things as quickly as he should, right? The one at the end of the first half to Quentin Skinner, he should see the safety in the middle of the field who can cover off that seam route to Quentin Skinner. You look at the interception in the second half, right? He should see that there's a linebacker within 5 yards of Trevor Cardell. And so I think so much of it right now is just it comes down to confidence in your ability to read a defense and being able to get through your progressions quickly. And he just isn't doing that consistently. And so now it's going to be a question of, can he build up his own confidence over the course of 1 or 2 weeks to where, hey, maybe we're talking at the end of October. It looks like the Jalen Daniels that fans have come to see in past seasons.
I'm not saying this as a Missouri fan. I'm saying this as somebody that has watched almost every snap of the last two KU games. If they lose to West Virginia, we got to start asking the question, are they making a bowl game? Because they go on the road against Arizona State. They have on the road against K-State. They haven't beaten K-State since George W. Bush was in office. They have on the road against BYU, on the road against Baylor. They have Iowa State. They play Colorado. I mean, you would think that they're going to make a bowl game, but if you start 1-3, this thing could fall off the tracks real fast if you are KU. I would advise them to win. West Virginia, I think Kansas is better than West Virginia. This is one of those games in Big 12 play that you need to figure out a way to go on the road and get a win. And he's right. It really comes down to one player. What version of Jalen Daniels do you get? You don't need him to be the player that he was last year. You just can't keep giving possessions away the way that he has at the position. All right, let's get back to our football question. Turn the music up, Rob. I have one question I am going to ask. Ian has now called in. Salute to Ian. There are five possible answers. You have to get at least, we agree, you have to get four of the five, right? Rob, is that right? You have to get four of the five. We're going to give you 30 seconds, Ian. We're going to give you 30 seconds. There are five teams in the NFL that are named after birds. Can you name four or more of those teams, Ian? On your mark, get set. Go.
All right, we got the Ravens, we got the Seahawks, we got the Eagles. Oh, man. Ravens, Seahawks, Eagles. Oh, man. Oh, man, I'm losing it here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. How much time I got? I got like 10 seconds, 20 seconds.
Henny, 5, 4, 3, 2.
I got nothing. Ian. M-I-Z, Brady Cook for Heisman.
Ian, no, Ian, don't hang up the phone yet, Ian.
Good, I'm happy he's a Missouri fan. Ian. That makes me so happy.
Ian, you named Eagles, Ravens, and the Seahawks. Who are the Chiefs playing on Sunday?
The Falcons is what I said. You guys just couldn't hear me, I think.
No, you didn't say that. Get out of here, Ian. You didn't say the Falcons. I ain't hear him say the Falcons. You heard him say the Falcons, Rob.
No, because he kept repeating.
I had both my ears on the button. I didn't hear him say that. No.
He kept repeating, Ravens, Eagles, Seahawks. Ravens, Eagles, Seahawks.
Yeah, he trying to pull a fast one. You're not pulling a fast one on me. All right, you know what? Let's do this. I'll name the four, and if you can name the last one, Rob will text you. If Rob don't text you, you didn't win. All right? That's the only rule now. If Rob doesn't, I don't want you to text me, oh, hey, C-Dot, did we win? No, if did Rob text you? Then you didn't win. Someone on the text line says, I heard him say it. Did you hear him say it? I didn't hear him say it.
I was sitting back here counting. He kept saying the three over and over again.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say it. I didn't hear it. Text line 913-586-7965. Maybe I missed it, but I was listening. I didn't hear him say the other team.
All also, right. Brady Cook for Heisman is no.
He's got a shot. He's got a shot.
Even I'm not even being a Missouri hater. If Missouri has a Heisman contender, he's playing wide receiver. He's not playing quarterback.
Here you go, hate. Here you go. Hold on, love to hate.
You think Brady Cook could win the Heisman before Luther Burden could win the Heisman?
Can we move forward? I don't want to spend today arguing with you about this nonsense. I don't want to spend it.
I'm praising one of the best receivers in college football. I don't know how that's viewed as hate.
No, you love to hate. All right, so Falcons, Eagles, Ravens, and Seahawks. There's one more team in the NFL that is named after a bird. If you can name it. Text it in. Rob will tell you if you win the pizza. We now have a pizza that is up for grabs. All right. Now, I know that you guys get mad at me. I know you guys get mad at me when we have this topic. But you guys can admit that this conversation has only been an in-house conversation. I gave you guys the stat earlier in the week. You guys told me, shut up. This doesn't matter. Travis Kelce in his last 10 regular season games has 43 catches for 440 yards. He has one touchdown in his last 10 regular season games. Now, I don't know if you guys were paying attention to it, but the national media is starting to talk about it. Stephen A. Smith, who might be the number one sports talker in the world, said that they showed Taylor Swift on TV more than they showed Travis Kelce on Sunday. People outside of our little Kansas City bubble are starting to talk about it. All I'm going to say about this topic, and we can move on, because, again, you guys don't like when we have this conversation about Travis Kelce. I'm not here to upset anybody on a Red Friday. The Chiefs are playing on Sunday Night Football. They are going to be playing in the second most watched game of the weekend behind Ravens and Cowboys. Now, I know you're big Chiefs fans. More people are watching Ravens and Cowboys than watching Chiefs and Falcons on Sunday Night Football. I hate to tell you that. So I am telling you this. If Travis Kelce plays how he played in the first two games, it will not just be a The Drive conversation that is talking about Travis Kelce. It will be all of your favorite TV shows. It will be all of your favorite NFL podcasts. It will be one of the big storylines in heading into week four is what's wrong with Travis Kelce. Now, they're going to have different theories on what it is. Oh, it's the endorsements. Oh, it's Taylor Swift. It's going to be all of these other things. And some of the answers are going to make you mad. But I have done this long enough, and I keep up with this stuff. I'm telling you what is going to happen. Even if the Chiefs win on Sunday, if Travis Kelce has three catches for 25 yards, I'm telling you that one of the week four conversations is going to be Travis Kelce has 60 yards through the first 3 weeks of the season. What's wrong with Mahomes? Or what's wrong with Travis Kelce? So, again, this is right now, this is just a Chiefs Kingdom conversation. It will be a first take conversation. It will be a first things first conversation. It will be one of these storylines heading into the next week of what's going on with Travis Kelce. If he does this on Sunday Night Football, what he has done the first 2 weeks of the season, especially because this offense could really use Travis Kelce. I know they got a lot of weapons. You're not relying on Xavier Worthy in his third game on the road on Sunday Night Football. No, if the Chiefs win this game, they win it because of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the defense. That's how they win on Sunday Night Football.
Let me ask you a question, and maybe this is just rehashing a previous conversation, so it goes. If Kelce goes 3 for 27 on Sunday, and the national talking heads, Carton, Parkin, Schlereth, Wright, Stephen A., pick a player, are talking about Travis Kelce on Monday, are they wrong? If Travis Kelce has 70 yards through three games and no touchdowns, and he was supposed to be the focal point of this offense, he was supposed to get back to being Trav. He had last year was a down year only because, you know, of injuries and this and that, but he's back. If the national talking heads start talking about it on Monday because he's 3 for 27, are the national heads actually correct? Should we be raising alarm bells in Kansas City? Because so much of the Chiefs' offense is predicated this season on Travis is going to be Travis again. So many of our conversations we had with guests, the text line, when we talked about the Chiefs' offense in April, May, June, July, August, was all around the idea of they can take a step forward, and we would always say the following sentence: Travis Kelce will get back to being Travis Kelce. But if he's not back to being Travis Kelce after three games, is it fair to say what's happening, and is the old Travis Kelce coming back?
I mean, are you asking this from a Chiefs fan perspective or how outsiders are going to say it? Because I think we know enough about how Chiefs fans are going to do it. You are not getting Chiefs fans alarmed about Travis Kelce in September. I would say you're not getting Chiefs fans really alarmed about Travis Kelce in October. I don't think you are doing it. I think right now it is just something to watch. I don't think it's either one way. I don't think it's one way or the other. He had a big catch in week two. It got called back. I don't think there's cause for concern yet. But this is a big spot. Think about who we thought their top four offensive players were going to be heading into the season. We thought it was going to be Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Travis Kelce, right? We all agree there. Two of those players are not playing on Sunday. You are not winning this game with just Rashee Rice. You're going to need, I would say, one and a possible other offensive contributor in this game, or your defense just plays lights out. I think one positive thing about this game is your defense, I think over the course of the last year and a half, they have played to a level where the Chiefs defense could go win this game for the Chiefs. It would not surprise me if the Chiefs win this game 21-17. It's a little bit lower scoring than they think, because the Chiefs get decent pressure, the Chiefs force Kirk Cousins to make a couple of mistakes, and they figure out a way to grind out a win. I think their defense has earned that over the course of the last year and a half. But again, if the Chiefs win this game, they win it because of the three-headed monster on the offensive side, or they win it because their defense is just really, really good in this game. Their defense holds Bijan Robinson to under 100 total yards, and they force Kirk Cousins to make a couple of mistakes, which we've all seen Kirk Cousins play. He is capable of making a couple of mistakes. I actually was thinking this week about Kirk Cousins, and we haven't got a chance to talk about it yet. Some of you hate the contract for Kirk Cousins and feel like quarterbacks like him are overpaid. And I have heard enough people say this. My dear friend, my brother, Danny Parkin, says the same thing. If you get it wrong at quarterback, you keep trying and trying in the draft until you get it right. Does anybody want a rookie quarterback right now in the league? Because basically, outside of CJ Stroud, over the last 4 years, that has been a losing proposition that is more than likely going to get you fired. So if you want to know why NFL teams keep paying guys like Tua, keep paying guys like Kirk Cousins, why Baker Mayfield got a good contract this offseason, it's because we used to kind of throw everybody into that Alex Smith pot. If you weren't Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, we just called you Alex Smith. How many quarterbacks today in the NFL do you think are Alex Smith? Or you would put in that Alex Smith category? Because Dak Prescott is better than what Alex Smith used to be. How many quarterbacks would you say, oh, he's just fine? There, I don't know if we've seen in the last 15 or 20 years such a clear gap in extremes between good quarterbacks and bad quarterbacks. We used to talk about bottom five quarterbacks in the league. And the bottom five quarterbacks in the league is really expanded now to the bottom 10. There are 10 unusable quarterbacks right now in the NFL. It's almost a third of the league. Almost a third of the league has unusable quarterback. Will Levis is not good. Daniel Jones is not good. There's 10 to maybe 12 of them. How many guys right now in the league do you think are middle? There's not that much middle. So if you're a team and you've got a decent quarterback or a guy like Kirk Cousins hits the market, your options right now are, would I rather have Kirk Cousins at quarterback or Bo Nix at quarterback? And I think that what I used to say is, oh, well, you go get Bo Nix. He's cheaper. He's on a rookie contract. If you got Bo Nix as your starting quarterback, you ain't winning nothing this year. Like nothing. Not a thing. If you got Caleb Williams right now, you're not winning anything. And this was a quarterback class that people were really high on. What, five quarterbacks went in the top 12 this year? This was supposed to be one of the better quarterback crops. Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy winner. Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner. Bo Nix played 5 years of major college football. None of them have a touchdown pass yet in the league. So if you got to spend a certain amount in the cap, I don't know if going out and getting Kirk Cousins is the worst thing that you can do right now.
Isn't what you're saying a massive indictment on quarterback play in the NFL? Because, like, what you just said, I agree with. There's no middle tier right now in football. There are good quarterbacks, and then there are quarterbacks we can't describe. We can describe words we can't use on the radio. Because that bottom part of the league is real bad.
It's bad.
Bo Nix is terrible. We can go through the list name after name after name of just whoever starting in Carolina, whether it be Bryce Young or Andy Dalton, neither one of them are any good. I watched Jacoby Brissett last night. Jacoby Brissett is not good. Sorry to the local kids, Skylar Thompson. He's not good. There's a lot of bad quarterback. Daniel Jones is horrible. There's a lot of bad at the bottom of the league. And you're right. There isn't a middle tier. There isn't the Alex Smith era right now. But isn't that an indictment on the league that there isn't
100%.
Quarterback is feast 100%. Or famine. And I feel like hopefully it's a conversation that stops because the league improves its quality of play. But I feel like we keep having this conversation about the league not putting out a good NFL product.
Quarterback play is not getting better. It is getting worse. There's going to be more younger quarterbacks coming into the league. Based on what we've seen this year, we think Carson Beck is coming into the league and having success next year? You think Quinn Ewers is coming into the league and having success next season? There's also, there's going to be another quarterback that just pops up that we aren't talking about right now. I'm saying, like, those guys are going to be the top three. There's always going to be the guy that gets picked 19th overall. Like, you and I didn't think J.J. McCarthy was going to be a first-round draft pick a year ago at this time. He ended up going top 12 last year. So that position continues to get younger. I'm not saying that you got to love the Kirk Cousins deal, but haven't we seen in the first 2 weeks, hey, that's why teams are paying Kirk Cousins $40 million, because you are faced with two choices. You can have Bo Nix as your starting quarterback or Kirk Cousins. Bo Nix doesn't give you a chance to make the playoffs this year. Kirk Cousins does. You might not win the Super Bowl with him. I think you got a shot because you're in the NFC and there's not that great quarterback. You don't have to go through Mahomes or Allen. You got to go through Jalen Hurts and Jared Goff in the NFC. So maybe having Kirk Cousins is enough that you can make a run in the NFC. But haven't we seen in the first 2 weeks, if there is any reason why Miami paid Tua the amount of money they paid him, why the Cowboys, we cannot let Dak even think about joining another team. We have no chance of re-signing him if that's the case. You guys wouldn't want to know what kind of money Dak Prescott was about to get if he had hit free. He would have got $70 million a year. He would have made the Deshaun Watson contract look like a backup quarterback deal is what it would have looked like if he had hit free agency. I just think we are getting the answer to some of our questions of why teams are so thirsty at the position and why they overspend so much at quarterback. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor. He is the beat writer for the Chiefs of the Athletic. There's a lot of stuff to talk about with Kansas City. Let's get back to the top story. The Chiefs right now don't have a left tackle. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Really excited to catch up with him. There is a lot of news to discuss with the Kansas City Chiefs. There were two issues that I was keeping an eye on heading into today's press conferences. Number one, what's the status of Kareem Hunt? Is he going to play? Does not sound like he is going to play, according to Andy Reid. Also, what's going to happen with the left tackle position? Here's what Andy Reid had to say.
We'll keep Kareem down this game. The two tackles will both have an opportunity to get in there this game, the left tackles.
The Chiefs are finally having the position battle that we all expected them to have at left tackle. They are just having it in week three of the NFL season. Kingsley Suamataia has been the left tackle since drafted in April. They have not really had a real competition. They have not really had a back and forth. I think many of us thought that was going to be the case in St. Joe. It was not the case. There really weren't a whole lot of position battles on this team. We thought that corner could be one. We thought that wide receiver could be one. They answered those questions pretty quickly. Well, those other positions have resolved themselves. We know who their number two corner is. It's Jalen Watson. Today, who's their left tackle? Because I think the answer is Kingsley Suamataia. But if after one game you are now having the conversation about rotating at that position, you don't have the answer yet. Now, the Chiefs don't need to have the answer in September. You need to have this answer in the second half of the season. And if there is a game that you could maybe throw away a little bit, it's the game against the NFC opponent. You wouldn't do this next week, I hope not, against a team that's in your division that right now that has started 2-0. That could be really important down the line. You might need that road game against the Los Angeles Chargers. But going into this game, I have been kind of waiting for the Chiefs to put some water on this fire. They didn't. The whole week, Andy was asked about it Wednesday. He didn't really give an answer. Matt Nagy was asked about it yesterday. He gave an even bigger non-answer. And then today, they didn't say it. They don't have the answer right now. If you're going to play both left tackles, this isn't running back. This isn't wide receiver. This isn't a college football non-con game in which you're going to let Arch Manning play for a little bit. We're talking about this is Sunday Night Football. We got the team that just had a pretty thrilling win, and you don't know who your left tackle is. So the position battle, the competition that I think we were expecting to see in the offseason, oh, they're finally having it now. They do not have the answer yet on who their left tackle is going to be, and hopefully they figure it out over the course of the next couple of weeks. We will ask Nate Taylor about that more coming up in a bit. He will be on the show coming up in 10 minutes. I have a question to ask you guys, 913-586-7965. Now, I think I know the answer based on the text line's reaction whenever we've talked about the Royals this week, but you know what? I'm not going to let that scare me off because the text line could say that I'm being ridiculous with this question. Old school Carrington hypothetical button style. Rob, you don't even got to hit the music for this. There's two buttons. One button, if you press it, it guarantees that the Royals sweep this series. But if you press the button, the Chiefs lose their next two road games and come back to Kansas City 2-2 on Monday night against the New Orleans Saints. You pressing the button, Rob? Or do you think Kansas City presses the button? If right now, in front of Kauffman Stadium, maybe we put it down at the Plaza Art Fair this weekend. What's like the 93rd Plaza Art Fair?
Sounds right.
I put a button right there. If you press the button, the Royals win all three games this weekend, but the Chiefs fall to 2-2. What do you think Kansas City does? Do you think Kansas City's pressing that button? Because if you press the button, the Royals are making the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most pessimistic Royals fan, you have to acknowledge, if the Royals win all three games this weekend against the Giants, you ain't catching them. You ain't catching them with six games to go, certainly not with their games against the Washington Nationals. They can end this conversation this weekend with the sweep. Do you think Kansas City is pressing that button, or do you think they're willing to roll the dice and let the Royals figure it out? The reason I think Kansas City would press the button is just last season we saw that the Chiefs don't need home field advantage. In that scenario of them being 2-2, you still win the division, in my opinion. You still go to the postseason, and all this team needs to do is get into the dance. If you get into the dance, we saw last season, anything is possible. They went on the road to Buffalo. They went on the road to Baltimore. They still won the Super Bowl. So the Chiefs can lose these next two games, and still everything can be fine. Would you sacrifice the Chiefs to help the Royals? That's my question, Rob Brenton.
Here's the thing. First off, I would smash the button. I think it's a very easy and obvious thing. I think the city is tougher. But, like, I don't think your terminology is correct there. You're not sacrificing the Chiefs. How many times have we, over the Chiefs dynasty, learned...
Texan's very split right now.
The regular season doesn't matter for the Chiefs. You know what I learned last year watching the Chiefs in regular season? It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. If they get hot at the right time, or they put together the right time, or 15 just starts throwing to the right team at the right time, they're just... They are so superior at quarterback, it does not matter. The Chiefs were a mediocre regular season team last year. They won the Super Bowl. They were mediocre. The year they lost the Bengals in the AFC title game, they played it at home. They were 3-4 at one point. And the Chiefs, as we opened the show with, are deciding, let's tinker and mess around with left tackle in week 3 of the NFL season. They know it. I know it. Fans know it. The regular season doesn't matter for the Chiefs. So I don't think it's sacrificing the Chiefs. I would easily smash this button, and I'm surprised anyone would do this because 2-2 is not a death sentence. It's just a setback.
I mean, I'm reading it right now, and the text line, you can see, is very, very split on if they would press the button. So the question, if you're just tuning in, I put a button in front of you. If you press the button, the Royals sweep the Giants this weekend. But the penalty is the Chiefs fall to 2-2. They lose their next two games on the road. They come back on Monday Night Football, and they are at 500.
Probably second in the division at that point, too.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
They would have lost the Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers, yeah. This is the only reason I'm surprised about this is you can't tell me don't overreact. It's the regular season about Travis Kelce, and now regular season games are so important. You got to win these next two games. It can't be both. If there's a team that I think could sacrifice these next two and still be fine, it's the Chiefs, especially because you got those first two out the way. You beat Baltimore and you beat the Bengals. Losing to the Falcons just doesn't really matter. I know every game in the NFL counts and every game is so important. If they lose to an NFC team in week 3, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the least bit. This team's still going to win 12 games. They're still going to be fine. You know the games you really need to win? The first two, they got a game against Houston later on the season and a game against Buffalo. Those are the ones I encourage you to win. This Sunday, it's okay. So I'm throwing that question out there if you would press the button. I'm going to ask Nate Taylor that question. What does he think Kansas City does in that scenario? I think you have to press the button. The Chiefs don't need the help. The Royals need the help. The Royals need the help to make the postseason. The Chiefs, they'll figure it out. They were 500 the last 2 months of the season last year. They still won the Super Bowl.
Also, you know how many NFL fans tell me the season doesn't start until after Thanksgiving? Then the NFL season hasn't started. If you're a believer in that sentence, the NFL season has not begun. Baseball season has entered its crunch time. Crunch time games matter more than week 3. They just do. They do.
All right, text line, let me know. It's very, very split. It's a little more split than I thought it was going to be. We're going to ask Nate Taylor this question coming up on the other side. Get his thoughts, get his opinion. I had no clue that regular season games were this important to you guys on the text line. This has been a startling revelation, but you know what? I learn things all the time on this show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.